From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. I'm very happy today I can accompany you again in our terrestrial program. We will begin our program with the news, and also we have several Indonesian songs for you. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The Indonesian government prepares 2 million pre-employment cards. Indonesian Trade Minister calls on retailers to be innovative amid technological advancement. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting in a bid to discuss the pre-employment card program at the presidential office in Jakarta on Tuesday. Regarding the program, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto pointed out that the Indonesian government would prepare 2 million pre-employment cards for the Indonesian society who has not yet acquired jobs after completing their education. Airlangga said that the total of 2 million pre-employment cards. The government will give 500,000 analog cards and 1.5 million digital cards. The minister explained that the application of the system aims to have the government track the number of people who need the pre-employment card and ensure the equitable distribution of the card to the society.
Arahan Bapak Presiden mengharapkan bahwa kita akan kembangkan supply dan demand dari segi kebutuhan lapangan pekerjaan.
In accordance with the mandate of President Jokowi, we will develop the supply and demand of the card in terms of the employment need. We realize that the pre-employment card has different characteristics, namely many-to-many and multi-to-multi. Therefore, the program is not similar like other government assistance. There are many participants in the program and there are also various courses provided in the program. However, we can arrange the mechanism on how to track the number of people who need the card and provide training or courses which can enhance the skills of job seekers. Through the online system, we also have set quota for the program, but those who live in big and small cities have the same opportunities to participate in the pre-employment card program.
Di kota besar maupun di kota kecil, kesempatan untuk ikutnya sama.
Furthermore, Airlangga Hartarto explained that the government has prepared fund worth 10 trillion rupiah for the pre-employment card program. His side admitted that the government is still establishing presidential regulation which will become the legal basis for the implementation of the program, such as the party who is responsible for the implementation of the program, namely the Coordinating Economic Affairs Ministry, and the criteria of the prospective beneficiaries of the program. Indonesian Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto called on Indonesian retailers to become innovative amid technological advancement. It was stated by the minister at the National Conference of the Indonesian Retailers Association in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister Agus Suparmanto pointed out that the development of technology could be seen through the prevalence of e-commerce. He explained that e-commerce must be utilized for the development of business. He also hoped that technological advancement could be used by Indonesian retailers to expand their products to the international market. In addition, the minister said that the retail sector in Indonesia has an important role to support the national economic growth through the sectors of trade and consumption. Therefore, the Trade Ministry is committed to maintaining the positive economic growth by intensively cooperating with various parties such as related ministries and private sector. Director General of Agro Industry at the Indonesian Industry Ministry, Abdul Rahim, has prepared a number of strategies for the past 3 months of 2019 in a bid to bolster the growth of food and beverage industry, which is projected to reach above 8% by the end of 2019, as well as to sharpen the competitiveness of the industry, one of which is by intensifying production. It was stated by Abdul Rahim in his press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday. Rahim said that the industry ministry has been striving to enhance the growth of food and beverage industry so that its growth can be stable above 9%. The ministry has formulated a number of strategies to implement the target, for example, by ensuring the availability of raw materials in a bid to support the sustainable production of food and beverage industry. In addition, the industry ministry also stimulates the exports of sector by encouraging food and beverage industrial actors to participate in various international exhibition and export coaching such as the SIAL Interfood Expo 2019, which is held from 13 to 16 November at the JEXPO Kemayoran, Jakarta. Chief of the Investment Coordinating Board, Bahlil Lahadalia, asked Japan to increase its export-oriented investment in Indonesia during a meeting with Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, in Jakarta on Monday. The BKPM chief made the request following up on a meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on the sidelines of the 35th ASEAN Summit held in Bangkok recently. It was said by a member of the BKPM Investment Committee for Communication and Information, Rijal Kalfari Marimbo, in a written statement received by Antara on Thursday. He explained that during the meeting, the two leaders discussed ways to increase investment in the development of infrastructure and human resources in Indonesia. Ambassador Ishii positively welcomed the chief of BKPM's hope that and he hoped that the cooperation between Indonesia and Japan could increase in the future. However, the ambassador explained that several problems related to regulations, licensing and taxation pose an obstacle to Japanese investment in Indonesia. Bahlil assured that Investment Coordinating Board is in the process of making fundamental changes to improve the investment climate in the country. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Armed Forces and the United Arab Emirates Armed Forces are committed to advancing military cooperation. The effort was proven when Indonesian Armed Forces Commander Air Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto received the courtesy call of the United Arab Emirates Armed Forces Military Chief Lieutenant General Hamad Mohamed Thani Al Rumaiti at the Indonesian National Armed Forces Headquarters in Cilangkap, Jakarta on Tuesday. Escorted by Antara, had an International Information Center at the Indonesian Military's Information Center, Colonel Agus Cahyono explained that the courtesy call of the United Arab Emirates military chief aims to enhance defense and military cooperation between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. Indonesian Ambassador to the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland, Dr. Rijal Sukma, called on British investors to conduct business in Indonesia. It was remarked by the ambassador at the opening of the Indonesia Briefing 2019, which was held by the Indonesian Embassy in London in collaboration with London's Bank Indonesia Representative Office and UK Business Council at the Institution of Civil Engineers in London on Thursday, escorted by Antara. Ambassador Rijal Sukma hoped that through the participation of British business actors at the briefing, they could gain in-depth information about the investment policy in Indonesia in the next 5 years. On the occasion, Executive Director of Bank Indonesia, Dr. Aida Budiman, expounded three major issues, namely the stability and security of Indonesia's economy, the role of central bank in maintaining the stability of price and supporting the stability of financial system, Indonesia's future export priority, as well as efforts to develop investment and encourage the growth of digital economy in Indonesia. Aida explained that Bank Indonesia, in collaboration with other stakeholders, supports the five priorities of Joko Widodo's administration, comprising human capital development, infrastructure development, bureaucratic reform, simplification of regulation impeding investment, and economic transformation. The Indonesian and South Korean governments held Indonesia-Korea consular consultation for the third time in a bid to discuss a number of issues related to consular affairs, protection of Indonesian citizens, and other issues. Based on the press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, the consultation, which was held in Seoul, South Korea on Monday, was attended by Director General for Overseas Korean and Consular Affairs at the South Korean Foreign Affairs Ministry, Byun Chul-hwan, and Director General of Consular Affairs at the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Prasetyo Hari. Prasetyo Hari explained that the meeting discussed a memorandum of understanding on the visa exemption agreement for diplomatic and service passport holders. The agreement had also been consented by President Joko Widodo, and it will be signed by both parties on the sidelines of the ASEAN Republic of Korea commemorative summit, which is scheduled to take place in Busan on November 25. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on Bolivia post Evo Morales. Evo Morales finally resigned after receiving very strong pressure through a series of demonstrations. Evo Morales was forced to relinquish his post as president due to allegation of electoral fraud from his political opponents. The people took the streets asking him to resign. Politics has led the former farmer to become number one in the Latin American country. Politics also brought him down at the age of 60 after 14 years in power. Evo Morales, who is loved by many small people, must now leave his country. Reuters news agency reported the former president is now in Mexico to get political asylum. He left his country on a Mexican Air Force plane. The Mexican government considers Morales to have been coup by his political opponents. Evo Morales became president for the first position after winning the election in 2006. Power has pushed him to continue to occupy the position of number one in Bolivia. In his 14th year as president, Evo Morales used his power and influence to remove the term limit through a referendum. Despite winning the election, eventually some people opposed his position as president. A wave of protests since last October finally forced Evo Morales to step down. Bolivia is now in a vacuum of power. It is still uncertain how the replacement mechanism will be. Political figures in parliament are competing for influence to appoint a temporary replacement for Morales before the election. Whether his successor will be able to immediately bring peace in the Latin American country, the political process will determine it. What is certain is that the security apparatus still has to work hard to prevent the occurrence of chaos after the resignment of Evo Morales. Well, that was commentary today on Bolivia post Evo Morales. I'm Anantri Jayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, welcome back to Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'll begin with November 13, 1970. Hurricane Bola hit East Pakistan and India, killed 500,000 people. The 1970 Bola cyclone was a deadly tropical cyclone that attacked East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, and India's West Bengal on November 12, 1970. More than 500,000 people died. It is the sixth cyclone of the 1970 North Indian Ocean cyclone season. The 1970 Bola cyclone was the first natural event to cause a civil war, namely the Bangladesh War of Independence, which ended in the formation of Bangladesh. Turning to November 13, 1985, the Nevado del Ruiz volcano erupted.
Nevado del Ruiz is a stratovolcano located in Colombia. This mountain is located in the northernmost part of the Andean volcanic belt and stretches about 15 miles southeast of Manizales, with the city of Armero in a valley near this mountain. This mountain is the highest mountain located in the northernmost area of Colombia. The 1985 eruption produced lava that buried the city and caused the death of 23,000 people. This incident is called the Armero Tragedy. Nevado del Ruiz is called Sleeping Lion by locals. I'll end with November the 13, 1998, the Semanggi One tragedy. In November 1998, the Indonesian Transitional Government convened a special session to determine the next election and discuss the governance agenda to be held. The students churned again because they did not recognize Baharudin Yusuf Habibie's government and did not trust the new order House of Representatives members. They also urged to remove the military from politics and cleanse the government of the new order people. The public and students rejected the 1998 General Assembly special session and also opposed the military dual function. During the special session, the people joined students every day to protest in the street of Jakarta and other major cities in Indonesia. This incident caused the death of 17 civilians. That was Today in History. Over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. From Indonesia to the world.
Bertanya-tanya tentang dirinya, ku cari-cari di dunia maya. Ku pandang profilnya, ku baca statusnya, ingin aku mengenalnya. Aku berhasil menjadi temannya, walau sebatas di social media. Aku terbawa imaji tentangnya, citra yang dibuatnya. Komentar di timeline-nya, aku tak suka panas aku jadinya. Aku cemburu, terbakar hatiku, hilang sudah logika.
listen to a song by Ari Lasso titled Dunia Maya. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia, and for the next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is My Indonesia with the topic Denpasar ready to develop cultural heritage tourism. The city government of Denpasar currently focuses to live again the old potential which contains cultural values through heritage tourism. That was stated by Denpasar Mayor Ida Bagus Rey Darmawijaya Mantra when becoming a speaker on the 38th Executive Committee and International Seminar on Heritage and Sustainable Tourism in the frame of CityNet Forum in Nepal. Mayor Rey Mantra, in a press release which was received by Antara News Agency in Denpasar Monday, said that development of tourism sector currently has complex challenges. Therefore, it needs innovation to keep the stability of tourism sector. The existence of tourism sector can give sustainable and mobile benefit as the development of civilization. According to Rey Mantra, challenges of sustainable tourism development are and ability to create new tourism. Mantra explained that the city government of Denpasar is currently focusing to arrange and prepare various supporting infrastructure to support the sustainable tourism sector, especially the development of cultural heritage tourism, which is this time focused on development of the Heritage Zone, which includes Jalan Gajah Mada, Jalan Sulawesi, Badung Market, and surrounding area in Denpasar. Various efforts are optimizing to support development of sustainable cultural heritage tourism, beginning from the arrangement of cultural tourism area by putting forward program of preservation, collaboration, creativity, entertainment, conservation, education, and playground. In front of hundreds of participants of the seminar, Mayor Rey Mantra explained about the development of tourism sector, which should be guided on input such as creativity process output that can be seen from visits, and also outcome as the immediate benefit derived from an activity. According to Mayor, the important things formed cultural heritage is preservation, because its authenticity is the high value, so it needs maintenance by putting forward restoration system for every building and object of cultural preservation. He said, after preservation, then entertainment, event, and brand which is able to give image and attraction for people, so that it becomes lifestyle and trend that becomes a valued destination and keep moving in a sustainable manner. The success of Denpasar in protecting cultural heritage and sustainable tourism development is recognized by CityNet Forum. Therefore, Denpasar is chosen as the host of the next CityNet Forum conference entitled Climate Leadership Conference on November 18th to 19th. That was My Indonesia.
Kamu tanya, aku menjawab. kamu dan aku.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
It's a song titled Selalu Cinta or I Will Always Love You by Atik Sibi. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we give you information about our tourism and also culture in our program Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned. As dry area, actually Belu Regency has amazing natural destination. It is Siata Mahualik Waterfall, which is located at Fatumuti Hamlet in Rai Ulun Village, Lasiola District, Belu Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. To go there, you must spend time for 1 hour because the road is winding and uphill. But along the trip, you will be presented with clusters of green hills. Thank you. Arriving at Sieta Mohalik Waterfall, you'll be welcomed by gateway which is made from bamboo and 50 staves which must be through by you. But your struggle is not useless because rice fields and corn plantation are ready to spoil your eyes. Towering palm and coconut trees at the left and right sides of the road become unique scenery. In addition, you will hear melodious sound of water which goes down among the stones. If you are tired before arriving at Sieta Mohalik Waterfall, there are some huts to take a rest for a while. Green moss which sticks on the stone's wall and transparent water which is illuminated by sunlight will make you forget your fatigue, and directly you will enjoy the freshness of its water. At the waterfall's complex, there is room to change your wet clothes, so you don't have to worry, you can play water satisfyingly. If you want to enjoy the sensation of Sieta Mohalik Waterfall, you can directly go to the rock bottom to feel the freshness of its water. If you touch the water, you are guaranteed you want to stay longer here. Thus, we suggest you to bring your own foods and beverages, or you can buy young coconut, roasted banana, or corns which are sought by local people. So what are you waiting for? Set your time to go to Sieta Mohalik Waterfall in Rai Bulu, East Nusa Tenggara. Listener, that was today's Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Luka menganga ini, benar ku membunuh dia. Namun aku manusia, penuh rasa kasih cinta. Biarkan aku mendekatmu hingga fajar. Tanya hati. hatimu adakah cinta sedasyat aku, tapi pelarian cinta ini perlu bukti setia yang abadi. Kau tulang rusukku. Mengabdilah padaku,
that was a song titled Kau Tulang Rusuku or You Are My Destiny by Barsena Bestandi. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present you our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Tony and Dinda are at family room. They are talking about events that have ever been happened in the past.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Jatuh, which means fall. Injak, which means to step. Tabrak, which means to crash or to hit. Bawa, which means to carry. Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon, which means when I was a child, I've ever fell down from tree. Di mana, which means where. Di halaman belakang, which means at the backyard. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. In a dialogue, Dinda tells about an incident she has ever experienced. She said, "Aku terjatuh dari pohon." Usually, the accident occurred suddenly. An event that happens unintentionally, usually preceded by affix ter. Let's follow to some examples of unintentionally accident. Kakiku terinjak orang itu, which means my foot is stepped on that man. Aku terjatuh dari pohon, which means I fell from a tree. Dia tertabrak mobil, which means he or she was hit by car. Maaf, buku Bapak terbawa oleh saya, which means sorry, I'm not intentionally carried your book. Next, when telling about the accident in the past, it is usually mentioned adverb of time related to the age. For examples, ketika aku masih kecil, waktu kecil, which means when I was a child. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was a young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Sandiwara, kita berperan di kenyataan yang tersulit tentang cinta. Saat kecewa penuh ragu dan sakit yang kan terobati. Karena ku kan ada siap tuk mengganti hatimu yang luka. Akulah yang kau cari, mulailah melangkah. Jangan kau kembali, bahagia bersama sang pemeran pengganti. Sandiwara, kita berperan di kenyataan yang tersulit tentang cinta. Saat kecewa penuh ragu dan sakit yang kan
That was a song titled Pemeran Peganti by Bisma. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we give you information about our music in our program Music Corner. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, now I present a song in Dayak Nuance, Kalimantan Island, entitled Teselok Anak De. The song Teselok Anak De is a song about broken heart due to unfaithful couple. One of the couple finds another one, although she still has relation her couple. Because she has lied, then he leave his lover. The song with a short lyric is accompanied by saperitem, a special instrument of Dayak. Teselok Anak De is one of songs from Soul of Borneo album, composed by Uyau Morris. Here is Uyau Morris with the song entitled Teselok Anak De.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Listener, that was our program Terrestrial in our English program. Thank you very much for joining us. And don't forget, you can give us your comments and criticism through our email address, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget, you can also visit our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiindonesia. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.